Lord this morning, didn't it? I'm glad to be here. I tell you, I hope everybody came in the same attitude I did, just glad to be in the house of God, that we worship and praise an almighty God. Like David said, you know, it's just amazing what he did for us. You know, that he loved us enough and that he gave his son to die on the cross of Calvary. I want to talk to you this morning. We're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about the urgency of salvation in this day of time. Share some scripture with you. Good to see everybody come this way. If you're not saved by the grace of God, this might be your day. Amen. This could be your day. If you are saved by the grace of God and kind of step back or not where you need to be with the Lord, this might be your day. I sense that and feel it every time I come into the house of God this year. I believe we're on a new mission this year that we're going to see souls saved. In a prayer room this morning back with Brother Jim, I heard the evidence of 3 souls being saved this week. Amen. Now, I'm talking about that's 3 that's not going to hell. That's delivered. That's set aside for an eternal promise of heaven. Now, isn't that good news? I tell you what, that's good news to me. Wonderful song service this morning. I've enjoyed every bit of it. And I hope you did. Just singing and praise and uplifting the name of God. That's where it's about, isn't it? That's what it's about. Look at Scripture with me, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. We're going to deal some in the second coming of the Lord. Did everybody see our bulletin, our wall back here that they did all the hands on and the same blood? And I just love that, don't y'all? Has everybody got back there to look at that? We might just take a break and everybody go look at it if you hadn't saw it. If your handprint's not on that wall back there and you'd like it to be, we've got the paper to trace out and to cut it out. And by office back there on that desk, if you trace your handprint out, they'll see that they get you on the board too. We don't want to leave anybody out of this thing. You know, we don't want to leave you out. If you'd like your handprint up there, that'd be great. It wasn't hard for some of us to pick out our handprints. They look like mittens is what Tommy said, you know, bad hands. But I really appreciate the effort that's went on here this week to get that taken care of. But been a lot of work goes into it, you know. And it shows in the church when people work, when people do things, it shows up. It'll make a difference that when we work, God will bless it, no doubt. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called of God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And so we have a repeat of people telling this same thing over and over and over to prepare people for the second coming of the Lord. I know a lot of people say, well, we have evidence and we don't know. Nobody knows the day and hour, but I'm going to tell you, the second coming is closer today than it was yesterday, no doubt in my mind, that we're starting to see scriptures fulfilled. We're starting to see the things happen and take place that God says is going to happen before the Lord's going to return. Now, we want to talk to you some about the second coming of the Lord, but I also want to show through this the urgency that we have this day and time, that we're sharing this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Now we're going to get to urgency in a few minutes, but I want you to notice it said, I beseech you, brother, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the gathering together unto him. And I thought about the ones that's going to be gathered and the ones that's going to be left. Amen. And there's going to be a division made. He said, just as the sheep's and the goats, I'm going to separate them right hand to left hand, and there's going to be a division come to a lot of our loved ones are not going to make it. And so we start seeing the responsibility that we have, that we prepare them through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you get ready for the second coming? Through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You receive the Son of God for salvation in your life and in your heart. And through that, you can be on the right side of the separation and the gathering. There's going to be a gathering. God's going to gather his elect, and the rest are going to be left. Now, when we get into this, it tells us, don't be soon shaken or troubled in mind, by spirit and a word that the day of Christ is at hand. But it starts talking about let no man deceive you. And I want to talk about the deception that goes on in this day and time and in this world all around us. There's a deception taking place. He said, don't let anybody deceive you. I'm thankful that we've got the Word of God that we can know the truth. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We've got God's Word that we can know the truth and not be deceived by outside sources or people saying this is going to happen and that's going to happen. God has laid it out and told us what's going to happen. Now I want you to consider this. Are you prepared today? What if this happened to be the day? Would you be prepared? We're seeing it unfold. We're seeing it take place. It's already in position. And when it talked about in this verse 3, it said, talked about first come a falling away first. Has anybody saw a falling away? Does anybody recognize a falling away of our nation away from God? I'm talking about a nation that's so obsessed with gun control, they don't want to talk about 52 million babies killed in the last 40 years by the scalpel. We're in a sick nation falling away from the principles and the power and the Word of God. Y'all hear what I said? We've killed 52 million babies in the last 40 years. And now they're blowing this smoke screen about gun control to get your mind off of that. Let's focus on what's real and what's true. Yeah, that gunman killed 27 up there. And our doctors have killed 52 million. We're a sick nation. So that means we're blessed to have a church where we can know the truth. Amen. Don't get awful quiet at that statistic number. That's pitiful, isn't it? Isn't that awful? That ought to sicken us out. We ought to have been the ones marching on Washington saying, stop killing our babies. Stop the abortion. They've made some movement at it. You know, this is the 40th year anniversary of Roe versus Wade. That's when it started. That's why we ought to be protesting. I don't care if you got a gun at your house, but it's going to bother me if you kill a baby. And so it talks about don't be deceived. It said there's going to come a falling away. Now anybody with any kind of vision whatsoever, any kind of knowledge of worldly things, we know that there's a falling away, that we're falling away from the Word of God, from the truth of God that He's given us through this Word that we have, that we teach, we preach, we believe. Amen. So we see this evidence of the falling away taking place. I used to think, well, the falling away, that means there won't be anybody at church. Well, the falling away I begin to think now is we fell away from the Word of God. There are going to be a lot of people at so-called churches, but it's not going to be the truth. It's not going to be the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to be a deception sent out to the world that they might believe a lie and be damned. We're going to cover that in a few minutes. Now, here we go, and we're looking at this. Let's go back just a minute to the book of Matthew. Hold this place. We're going to come back there. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to go back over there in a minute, but I want you to see what he had already told them that God had already shared with them in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now he was demonstrating and showing them the power of God that's going to change everything you know. This world as you know it today is going to perish. It's going to be gone. It's going to change. The house where you live is going to be torn down. You're not going to need it. If you're a child of God, you'll have a new home prepared by the hands of God. But when he starts making this illustration, he said everything's going to change. Everything's going to be different. I mean, we live in a routine life this day and time. Everybody here has their own routine. They do the same thing every day to a certain extent. Well, I want you to know that day's going to change. It's not going to be routine. Everything will be made new. Everything will be made different. For the children of God, it'll be glory. And for the lost, it won't. And that's where we need to be, in a reality, in a state of realization that we have lost loved ones in our family, we have lost loved ones in our church, and we need to be sharing and preaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ to get them prepared. In verse 3, "And as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world." So the question they ask is, said, when is this going to happen? When are you coming back? When is going to be the end of the world? Now, everybody said, well, how can we know? Now listen to these scriptures. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." He's very plain in this, both places of Scripture. Take heed, no man deceive you. There's a deception going on in our world to make you think that this thing's going to go on forever and ever and ever and never end. I'm telling you, the Lord's coming back and the end of this world is coming. But they want to deceive you into thinking, no, don't worry about it today, it's okay. Now you have an understanding. He said, let no man deceive you. If you want the truth, you go to the Word of God. Let all others be a lie, and God's word be the truth. That's where we have to go. In verse 5, it said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And so we have this description of things coming. That's already with us. Amen. Don't you know people right now that's claiming to be the Son of God? There have been many through the years that I could name that they've come and said, I'm the Christ. But he said, don't be deceived by them. He said, there are going to be many. He's going to come and said, they're going to deceive many. And this deception is already taking place on this earth. It said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Has anybody heard of a war? Have you heard of a rumor of a war? They're fighting every day over in Egypt and several other places, right? There's a war going on somewhere in the world every day. And so when he says you're going to hear these things, there's going to be wars fought. You're going to hear of wars, rumors of war. Don't let that trouble you. But you see them. Now listen. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Are y'all hearing of the earthquakes? Are you hearing of the pestilences? Are you hearing about the famines? Are we looking at God's word and he's forewarning and telling us about all these things? Now in verse 8, most important. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is already in process. We see all these things. We know all these things. And it said all these are the beginning of sorrows. You're in the beginning of the second coming as I stand and speak. I'm not going to try to set a date. I'm not going to try to set a time. I'm going to warn you to be prepared and be ready. We have started. We have started. This is the beginning of sorrows. The beginning. So when you're in the beginning, you started, right? We're in the beginning of the sorrows and the sadness and the things to come upon this earth prior to and with the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You think about these things. Let's go back over 2 Thessalonians. Go back over with me if you would. Now you keep these things in mind. Let no man deceive you as to the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 5, it said again, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And so the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And we see in Matthew that we're in the beginning. And so I want you to start being prepared for the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to get our hearts right. We need to get our life right. We need to get our church right, that it be delivered spotless and blameless as a lamb. Amen. That's where we need to be focusing and working in this day and time in our Christian life, that we be prepared for this second coming. You know, Scripture said every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. And I got thinking about, what if it's today? What would I have to confess? In verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed from whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We're going to win. Amen. Praise God, we're going to win. Amen. If you're a child of God, you're on the winning side. It said the Lord is going to win this thing for us. And I get thinking about that so often. Now, you know, the world says this, the world says that, but God says we're winners already. That we're already winners. It said he's going to do it with and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And so it starts talking about the unsaved. Now, in verse 11, everybody needs to take to heart and take serious because we're talking about the age of grace is going to continue until the Lord returns. You know, we had the law that God gave to Moses. Then we had the age of grace. Now, you listen to this. Grace is going to continue until the Lord comes back. But everybody's not going to be able to receive that grace because of verse 11 recorded here in the Word of God. It said, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and that they might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So a time comes that we're still in grace, but if God has spoke to you before and you hadn't received it, you might be damned because you're going to believe a lie. He's going to send a strong delusion. And I got thinking about the urgency of salvation. We don't know when that day's going to come. It's going to happen before the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that this delusion is going to be sent out. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I got thinking about if God deals with you today to believe on His Son, His Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you better take care of today because tomorrow you might be delusioned by God and not be able to receive it. Now you think about the seriousness of that, that we're going to come to a time, although we're in grace, they're not going to believe it. They're not going to be saved because this delusion will alter their mind and their heart that they believe a lie that they might be damned. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? But that's God's plan and that's God's work. It said in verse 12 that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Who believed not the truth. Now when we start breaking this down on believed not the truth, they had been told the truth. They had been told the truth. They knew the truth. This spares our young children from this delusion. I'm going to make a point of it. This spares our young children from this delusion that God's going to send. It said, those that have believed not the truth. So they had been told the truth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and rejected it. For those young children that had never been told, they'll have an opportunity and a chance. Grace won't end for them. But to these people that's heard the truth and rejected it, a time's going to come when they will have strong illusions sent by God and they'll believe the lie. But these young children, it makes a difference right there in that verse. It said, those that have not believed. So they've already been told. So these young ones that we're going to tell in this church and in our homes and in our family, that we're going to tell for the first time that they know and understand the truth, grace will save them. Praise the Lord. Grace will save them. But don't be caught by this delusion sent by God. There'll come a time that you might be sitting here today and you think, well, I've known the truth, but I've rejected it. Thank God you're not in that delusion yet. But that delusion will come according to the Word of God. He said that He's going to send it. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now that's urgent in this day and time. We've heard evidence today of three souls being saved already in the past few days. And I want to tell you this morning that if you're not saved by the grace of God, don't be caught by this delusion that you're going to believe the lie. that you're not going to be able to turn to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If he's dealing with you today, this will be the day that you make things right with God, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I pray the Holy Spirit condemn and convict hearts here today and let you know that I need Jesus in my life. I want to be on the right side of the coming at the resurrection time. I want to go on the right side. An opportunity today. We'll have a verse for song. That's the message God sent by me today. He sent me to preach it. And I prayed, God, if I preach it, you power it by the Holy Ghost, that it have an effect, that it touch somebody's heart, that they, for the first time in their life, say, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to let that delusion catch me that I believe a lie and be damned. You know, it might be the day that God's given you to be saved. Sing a verse for song. Praying. I want to open the doors of New Salem Baptist Church. We receive members by letter, forthcoming letter of baptism in certain circumstances by statement. If you're saved by the grace of God and you desire to be a member and part of this church, this might be the day that you need to come. This will be your day. This will be your time. We already got expression made by one young man. I talked to him earlier. And come on up, Bo. Let him out, Gene. Let him out. This is a grandson of Gene's. He lives down in Dalton area. He is saved this weekend, but I'm going to let him tell you that himself. But he was saved this weekend. They prayed with him at home, said they had a good prayer meeting, and he's received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm going to let him confirm that. But he's got a desire to be baptized into this church. Now, he lives away. I don't know how often he can attend, but we're not going to get into that. He wants a church home. He wants to be in the body of Christ. He wants to fulfill all righteousness. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That was the word of Jesus. So he's come forward. You know you're saved by the grace of God, right? Amen. Tell them. Now, we're going to hold up just a minute. We still got a prayer meeting going on over here. We'll get satisfaction in this. You just wait on us. He's multitasking. He's getting things right in people's life. And got a candidate standing up here. Did y'all hear his testimony? Amen. Did I hear a move in a second to accept him as a member candidate for baptism? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
No, wait a minute. All in favor, raise your hand up. I believe he needs a visual. He needs to see that y'all want him here and accept him. And by his statement, okay, we've said a baptism tonight. Oh, by the way, I just happen to have the water already run. And the heater's on, praise the Lord. So we'll check the heat on that. That's going to be church service time tonight. Young man's going to come. We're going to baptize him into the body of Christ. If you've never saw a preview of the death, burial, and resurrection, you come out tonight and we'll show you one. Amen. We'll show you a preview of the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. The same way Christ went down and was planted and resurrected. You can see a preview of that tonight. I feel like we ain't done. If you stood back on the Lord, you know, I get a call every now and then, somebody will say, you know, I should have done this in church. And I say, well, you missed your chance. May God give you another one. Well, every now and then, you know, that happens. And I tell them, well, you missed that opportunity. God dealt with you. God moved you, whatever it might have been. But I just feel with all my heart, I just don't think God's quite finished here today. There needs to be more than this take place and happen. If you're holding back, if you've held back on God, shame on you. Because that's what it'll amount to. It is a shame to hold back on God, right?
Amen.
That if God's shown you that you need to do something in this church, one way or the other, you need to be doing that very thing. Here comes one guilty. Yes, ma'am?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am? All right, turn around and tell them.
Well, I was saved at 13, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And our church home, I've always felt so comfortable here, and I've always been so welcome. One reason I haven't joined before now is because I had a 6-mile radius between here and home with no cell service. And I'm just going to put that mirror at me.
Amen.
Amen. Send a smoke signal, we'll come and get you. Amen. So she's come to join by statement from our letter. Well, just join by statement. Just join by statement. Are you saved by the grace of God? Now, you've already made that, but I need to ask you this question. And her desire is to join this church by statement. She was a member of the other church. They closed down. It broke my heart to hear that. Praise God. Let's keep this open, okay?
Amen.
And so she's come to join by statement. Do I hear a move in second? All in favor, raise your hands.
Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, amen. Okay. Now, y'all may be in a hurry. I'm not really. Are we finished? Are you satisfied and content? See, I don't know everybody's heart. I don't know everybody's heart, but God does. And if God's moving you and motivating you to do something this morning, don't go away and say, I should have.
Amen.
Yeah, while they're walking down here.
I'm leaving next month to go to Alaska for 4 months, so I think I'm leaving
the
church.
Amen. Amen. How are y'all doing? Good. Y'all got a desire?
I'm going to join the church.
Okay. I want to join by letter, statement, or
by letter.
Okay. Got them come to join by letter this morning. And
prayer
amen.
Prayer work.
Amen.
I told our client. I told the men prayer work.
Amen.
You
praise the Lord.
Prayer work. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, come to join my letter. Do I hear a moving second on this? All in favor, now y'all watch. See, all these people are for this.
I can't raise my hand.
And I really, Alan can't raise his hand. He's still recovering from the surgery, but praise the Lord. So Are we through? I don't think we're through yet. All I ask you to do is be obedient to what God has put on your heart and in your mind. That's all I ask you to do. Just be obedient to that. Not pressure from us, not peer pressure, whatever. But if God's put it on your heart and mind, it's right. It'll be right. Anyone else need to make a move of any kind? Amen. 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 All right. Amen. All right. Is everybody finished?